Sometimes we can have that desire in our lives to have Him as a priority, and yet we still may be experiencing His discipline in our lives. We may not have peace in our lives. We may have difficulties that are not simply trials. They're difficulties that the Lord has allowed to address things in our lives.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, today's message is one that we all need to listen to carefully because it hits us right where we live.
You know, Dave, probably more than any other time, and certainly in my lifetime, we are living in a day when people say the right things, they even do some good stuff, but they live in a way which is contrary to Scripture, and then they wonder why God isn't blessing them and their work. And as we'll see in today's message, there's good reason why God's blessing is being withheld. Our text today is Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 through 19.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, hopefully, most of you here have decided to follow Jesus. You have been convicted of your sin. You have turned from that and trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord. And you have been born again. You're a new creation in Christ, and you've recognized that you've been changed. You're not who you used to be. And within that, when you want to follow Jesus, having been saved, you want to follow Him. You want to serve Him. You want to do His will, and we're convicted when we're not. We're convicted when our hearts stray to our own selfishness, whether it's a worldly selfishness or religious selfishness, whatever it might be. Hopefully, your desire is to make Him a priority in your life, to be about His business. Now, sometimes we can have that desire in our lives to have Him as a priority, and yet we still may be experiencing His discipline in our lives. We may not have peace in our lives. We may have difficulties that are not simply trials. They're difficulties that the Lord has allowed to address things in our lives. Today, we're going to see, why is the Lord not blessing His work through me? We're going to see that those in the book of Haggai were desiring to do the right thing, and yet God still was not blessing what they were doing. And there's a reason for it. And it flows into the flow of thought of this book that we would understand how to rightly walk before the Lord. And we're going to see today how to experience genuine, true, biblical blessing. Just turn your Bibles to the book of Haggai. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 19. And I'm just going to review the context initially of the broader context, but then we're going to go through what we've seen up this point up to where we're at today in chapter 2, verse 10. Now we know after the conquest of Canaan that the Jews were in the land 490 years. And after Solomon died, the kingdom was divided because of his sin, the northern kingdom being Israel and the southern kingdom being Judah. And during that time, leading up to the exile of both the northern and southern kingdoms, the prophets were sharing over and over again that they needed to repent, that Israel and Judah would need to repent or God would bring about His discipline and His destruction upon them. And because they did not repent, Israel was taken into captivity by the Assyrians, and soon after, Judah would be taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And we have that final of three deportations in which the city is destroyed and the walls torn down and the temple is destroyed in 586 BC. But what we saw in history then was in 539 BC, the Persians defeated the Babylonians who had brought the Israelites to Babylon. And as prophesied in Isaiah, Cyrus changed his policy towards captive peoples, and God led him to bring about a changed desire that he would let the people go to go serve the Lord and rebuild the temple. Now, we see that in Ezra chapters 1 through 3 and about 50,000. But what we see in Ezra chapters 1 through 3 is that Cyrus, led by the Lord, allowed the captive peoples to return. And about 50,000 devout Jews chose to return to rebuild the temple. They were the ones who had been comfortable. They had become comfortable in Babylon. And yet they decided to leave to go do God's will, to rebuild the temple, to worship the Lord. And within a year, they had laid the foundation of the temple. We see that in Ezra chapter 3. Unfortunately, Ezra also records that through some difficulties, they stopped building the temple. And then 16 years went by, and they failed to restart the work during that time. And that's where our passage comes in. And the year is now 520 BC, and that's where the Lord, through Haggai, begins to address them. It's been 16 years since they laid the foundation, but they had not been about the Lord's work. Look back in chapter 1, and we'll see in verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Well, what was wrong here? The Lord was calling them on their misplaced priorities. They were not about the reason they had left Babylon. They were about their own houses, and they were beautifying their own houses. They were running to their own houses. In effect, they were focusing on their own lives rather than on what God had called them out of Babylon to do, which was to rebuild the temple. And within that, we see God began to first identify their misplaced priorities, and he encouraged them and exhorted them through Haggai and commanded them to set their heart on their ways, to consider their ways. Look at verse 5. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put in a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Set your heart upon the path of your feet. Set your heart upon your life. Consider your ways. There was an overwhelming dissatisfaction. They were not able to be satisfied with what they brought in, whether it was food or clothing or whatever it might be. And then we see that God's disciplinary hand was certainly upon them. Look at verse 9. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I called for a drought on the land and on the mountains and on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil and what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands. God had brought forth his disciplinary hand, whom the Lord loves. He disciplines. We see that in Proverbs chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 12. And unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor, labor in vain. They were building their own houses, but they were not about his house. And what were they to do? Back, look at verse 8. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with it and glorified, said the Lord. Be about the business that I called you unto when you left Babylon, to rebuild the temple. Be about my business, my house, and not your house. Now we saw this temple imagery, and we looked at that in the last three sermons. We saw that although God does not dwell in temples of human hands, the purpose of the tabernacle, the temple, was to give a visible picture of heavenly realities. And it was also that God would identify with his people and personify his presence, that they could see the manifestation of his glory. And the earthly temple was a shadow and copy of the heavenly temple, Hebrews chapter 8 and 9. And within this physical temple, there were sacrifices offered by the priests according to the law that pointed to the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the once-for-all sacrifice for our sins. And now the reality is we believers are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the living God. And therefore, we are to glorify God with ourselves, with our bodies. And so how does this point to us? This is speaking, telling them to be about his business. The same thing applies to us. Consider your ways. Are you about his business or are you about your own business? Really, that's what it's about. Are you about his business? Are you about the thing that he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? That you would become more and more like Jesus Christ? Are you about the individual building up of yourself through the word of God with a submissive, humble spirit? And then also in the body of Christ as we grow together, as the word works in our hearts? Are you about the things of his building so that he would be glorified? Or is living your own life more important? If you're a true believer, now some of you are and some of you aren't, but if you're a true believer, God is going to discipline. He is a gracious God. He loves those who are His, and He disciplines those whom He loves. And so we are to be about the building of His temple. We are to be about those. We are like living stones being built upon the foundation, Christ Jesus, the cornerstone, that we would offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable through Jesus Christ, that we would walk rightly with the Lord and He would be glorified. And so I ask you this, is His work of His ministry in your life and at your home, work, church, priority for you? If not, you're going to be dissatisfied. If you're a true believer, He's going to bring His disciplinary hand on your life. And so consider your ways. Be about His business so that He would be pleased and glorified. And then what was interesting, we saw after this admonition to these people who were His, but yet there was a distance, this people, we saw that they responded in chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent them. They obeyed God's word through Haggai as God had sent Haggai. God brings people to share His word. God brought Haggai. He brought the prophets. He brings pastor teachers to share His word to equip the saints. He does it His way, not your way or my way. And they listened to it. They listened to the words of God through Haggai the prophet as the Lord had sent him. And notice, they obeyed the voice of the Lord. They listened, we saw that word, listened with the intent of obeying. They wanted to obey what they heard. You know, when I come to church, when I hear the word of God, I come going, yes, I want to learn, I want to learn, I want to hear, I want to hear, I want to do, I want to do what You want me to do, Lord God. I don't come with an attitude, I'll see, I come with an attitude of, Lord, I want to obey Your word. I want to hear it. I want to grow in it. And they listened with the intent of obeying, and they also revered the Lord. Notice what it says here in verse 12. They obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of the Haggai, the prophet, the Lord, and the people, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people showed reverence for the Lord. What's that look like these days? I don't see much reverence for the Lord. Do you see much reverence for the Lord? They showed reverence for God. They showed a fear and an honor and a respect for the living God. They showed reverence for Him. They responded rightly to what God had said through Haggai. They were considering their ways, and they realized they were not about God's work. They were about their own business. They responded as believers should respond. You look at those who regard reproof in Proverbs. They are those who are following on the path of life, right? Those who regard reproof. And so they listened to it. And then God gave a tremendous response to them. Look at verse 13. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission or message of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. You want to obey me? I am with you. Now, certainly He was their God before, but He wasn't with them in their endeavors. And when you are about your own business as a believer, God is not with you in that. But when you want to obey Him with a right heart, with reverence and fear, He is with you. He is with you. And we see that. He says, I am with you, declares the Lord. And then notice the Lord empowered them. He empowered them. He stirred them up. Same word that was used when He stirred up their spirits to leave Babylon to go serve Him. Same thing. Then the Lord, it says here, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. They did what God asked them to do. They were about His business. And when we are about hearing and fearing the Lord, He encourages us and empowers us, and we will obey Him in that context with a right heart, as we see they did. Now that leads us to the second sermon that we see in the book of Haggai in chapter 2, where these believers, a couple weeks have gone by, and they are about God's will. They have set their priorities straight. They're doing the right thing, and they now have become discouraged. They became discouraged because of comparison. There were those within the group there who had seen the former temple. It was a grand, marvelous temple, Solomon's temple. And they had seen it. And what was being created right now was nothing in comparison. It was nothing in comparison. And the implication was they were weak and they were fearing, because God will say, be courageous and strong and do not fear. The implication was that they were looking at this dismal work that they were doing and they were getting discouraged, right? And isn't that it? You decide to be about God's work. You're finally submitting your heart with your family and raising them, doing the right thing no matter how difficult it is. You're finally committing yourself completely to the Lord at your work, doing your work heartily unto Him, not unto men. You're finally submitting your heart humbly at church, obeying as the Lord leads you and humbly submitting to Him. And then all of a sudden you don't see anything going on. No change. You see that it doesn't look so great, the work that's going on. And it's easy to compare as you look at other things. Other things that God has done and were actually good. And so here, they're discouraged. And so God is gracious and He encourages them through His word that they should not judge what they see, but be strong and do not fear, because He is with them. It's His work and it has a glorious end. He shares His presence and His power and His glorious future plans. And as we see in the book of Zechariah, they are not to despise the day of the small things. They are to trust the Lord no matter what it looks like, because what He is doing is not what they see. And by the way, if you focus on what you see, you will always be discouraged. Set your mind and your focus on the things above. So that leads us to now the third sermon in the book of Haggai at our passage, where 2 months have passed. And we see this in the latter portion of the passage, but God's blessing has not come yet. They were still in a drought. They were still dissatisfied. They had made God's work a priority. They were encouraged, and yet God was not blessing their work. Why was He not blessing it? And that leads us to what we're going to see today. Why about God's will is He not blessing what we're doing? And I'm not talking about physical blessing. For the Israelites, it was physical blessing. We'll talk about that. He had made a covenant with them. If they were obedient, they'd be blessed physically. If they weren't, they wouldn't be blessed. Okay? Now for us, we see His blessing, as we'll see in a moment, in the context of a right relationship with Him, where we're walking rightly and there is peace and there is joy and there is His presence in the midst of that, as we see. So take a look here at our passage, Haggai chapter 2, verse 10. On the 24th of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest for a ruling. If a man carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches bread with this fold, or cooked food, wine, oil, or any other food, will it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if anyone is unclean, who is unclean from a corpse, touches any of these, will the latter become unclean? And the priest answered and said, it will become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. Today, some of you might be in deep agony. You're going through physical, emotional, spiritual trials. You believe you've done everything right before the Lord, and yet it doesn't seem to be being blessed in the context of walking with Him. You're about His business, but God's discipline seems to still be on your life. Well, for the Israelites, that was the case here. And so what God does is ask them two questions to reveal what's going on in their lives. And these two questions are very pertinent for us to reveal what's going on in our lives, what God is doing and allowing to happen because of what we're doing, and what He's not allowing to happen because of what we're doing. And I think, first of all, we're going to need to realize that sin is hideous, and it defiles everything, everything. On the 24th of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius, verse 10, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest for a ruling. Now he gives the exact date here, and this is really important, because this date here is December 18th, 520 BC, and make a special note of that, because this is an important date. This is an important date. The dates are given for a reason, and it's going to play into our understanding and interpretation of this passage later on. It's very important that we understand this date. And so with that in mind, 2 months now have passed since they were discouraged over the size of the work and those things. And God encouraged them. 2 months have passed. They're about his business. They're doing his work. But yet, evidently, as we'll see, God's discipline was still upon them. Notice the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai saying, verse 10, this is the word of Yahweh. This is the word of the great I am. And what does he say? Verse 11, thus says the Lord of hosts or the Lord of armies, ask now the priests for a ruling. Ask the priests for a ruling. God is telling Haggai to ask the priests for a ruling, as we're going to see, concerning the ceremonial law. Remember, this was a common practice. This was prescribed in the scriptures. Indeed, in Deuteronomy 17, verses 8 and 9, the Israelites were to go to the Levitical priests if they had issues, questions too difficult for their courts to address. And so they would go to the Levitical priests for a ruling. And notice there are two questions that are asked. Two questions that are asked. Notice the first question. This actually will reveal, I believe, that holiness is not transferable. Look at verse 12. If a man carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches bread with this fold or cooked food or wine or any other food, will it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Now, we need to remember the context in which this is being spoken. This is being spoken to Jews who are in a covenant with the Lord. And the Lord had made it clear in his word, in his law, what things were holy, what things were not holy. He made it clear to them. And those were pictures of how God is holy and set apart and how we need to approach him based on his prescribed method, which is through ultimately the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so here he's talking about the ceremonial law. And so they were to go to a priest and ask them if they were to take holy meat. This is meat that was sanctified, set apart. It was set apart. And they were to touch bread with the fold or cooked food or wine or other food. Will that stuff become holy because of the contact with the holy meat? That's the question, right? And look at the answer the priest gave. And the priest answered and said, no. Right? Very interesting question. Well, what is God trying to reveal here by asking this question? Remember, God is using an illustration here by asking the priest a question. Basically, is that which God has deemed holy, if it touches other things, does it make them holy by association? The answer is no. And what's the point? Is holiness transferable? No.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, in the moments that we have left in today's broadcast, you mentioned that doing religious things don't make me right before God. My question is, why not?
You know, Dave, there is a misconception among many who name the name of Christ that doing things for Christ or whatever it might be makes you a holy person. Mm-hmm. And indeed, in some parts of this country, church attendance is very high and many people faithfully go each week, but their lives Monday through Saturday do not show any spiritual life at all. Religious activity in this context has no redemptive value at all. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Going to a biblical church is a good thing, and serving the Lord is a good thing. But if the reason you are doing these things is to earn favor with God or to not feel guilty, then you are really quite deceived. Indeed, the only way for you to be holy before God is to trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. And the only way to do that is to abide in Him and His Word in you. And then what you do in Him will be blessed. And as the old hymn writer wrote, when you trust and obey, That's the only way that you will be happy in Jesus.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.